Hello and welcome to Parkinson's Life, the award-winning podcast offering a voice to the global Parkinson's community. Each episode, we bring together people impacted by the condition for an honest conversation to share their stories, perspectives, and ideas on how to live well with Parkinson's. Following our previous episode on what to expect with off periods in Parkinson's, this episode focuses on potential management methods. Canada-based Barbara Salzberg-Matthews, who was diagnosed with the condition in 2020, shares her personal strategies for tackling off states and the impact these have had. She is joined by Dr. Silvia Rota, an Italian neurologist and clinical research fellow, who sheds light on various treatments and approaches that may be beneficial. Together, our two guests explore how different tactics can help people to take better control of their off periods and why open communication is key. This podcast is sponsored by Bial, a pharmaceutical company committed to discovering, developing, and commercializing medicines with the aim of improving people's lives worldwide.
I'm Dr. Silvia Rota, I'm a neurologist. I'm currently based in London, where I work in King's College. I'm a consultant neurologist and a clinical research fellow working with Professor Rich Audrey. I've been interested in neurodegeneration since many years now, since I started my neurology training.
My name's Barbara Salzberg-Matthews, and I'm from Canada, Toronto, Canada. I'm 64 years young. I'm living with my husband, my care partner. I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in January 2020. For a profession, I had a few careers. I had a mime company touring, and I was a high school art and drama high school teacher and a corporate trainer before retiring almost 10 years ago.
So, Barbara, would you want to tell us when you were diagnosed with Parkinson's disease? How old were you? How this was for you? How was this diagnosis?
Wow. It was a very hard, difficult time in my life because I was experiencing unusual symptoms. My shoulder had been sore for a number of years. I was forgetting things and my arm got very weak. I could not hold my arm up. So I went to a doctor who eventually got me to a neurologist who diagnosed me with Parkinson's in January 2020. I did not expect that diagnosis. I was thinking, oh, I have an essential tremor, which is just my hand shakes from time to time, but nothing serious. Or perhaps I had a pinched nerve. But the doctor watched, he said, I watched how you walk. And based on how you're not moving your right arm and your hand is shaking, and I was dragging my right foot and I didn't have a lot of expression on my face, he says, I have Parkinson's. And I felt shocked and I was all alone in his office. And by the time I saw my husband, I said, let's get in the car. And then I broke down and cried.
I can imagine it must have been hard.
You know, Sylvia, what turned things around for me from feeling shock and being a victim, because Parkinson's at this stage has no cure. And right now it's progressive. We know that. Is I realize I am not my disease. I'm a person with Parkinson's. So that helped me right away. So I don't identify as the disease. But I'm fighting tooth and claw to do the best I can and make today a good day and focus on what I can leave behind.
Well, that's great. And I always believe that is the best attitude. So it's the greatest one, starting from I am a person and I'm not Parkinson. And I mean, I can live with this chronic disease. Coming to the topic of our podcast and our conversation today, do you ever experience off periods?
Yes, definitely. I experience it every day, actually, when my meds wear off.
Okay. Since how long are you experiencing this?
Well, from the very moment I started taking levodopa, carbidopa as my treatment. And so I guess over 3 years ago, maybe almost 4 years now, and the symptoms have changed. Some have stayed consistent as well.
So off periods, it's an interesting phenomenon that happens, usually after a few years a patient is into the disease. And they are related to the fact that basically the medication and all the formulation of levodopa are not actually working optimally. And this, when they're not working optimally, what happens is that the symptoms are not well controlled anymore. So you have basically worsening of the symptom as a result of this reduced effect of the levodopa. You can have motor off and non-motor off. Most of the times they are combined. So we have a worsening of the motor symptoms like freezing of gait, tremor, slowness, rigidity. And these are, can be combined with the non-motor symptoms, brain fog, the pain, the anxiety. So all of those are, for example, part of the non-motor aspect of off periods.
Sylvia, would you please share with me experiences of some other patients that either you've read about or worked with who have successfully handled their off periods?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm quite lucky because in my experience, I'm not just a clinician, but I'm also a researcher. So in my years of experience, I was quite lucky because I managed to spend lots of time with patients with Parkinson's disease. And this sometimes was also, spending up to a full day with patients with Parkinson's disease. And sometimes, when you do research, we assess patients that are on and off state. So, I was lucky to see, for example, a full day of a patient with Parkinson's disease and a full journey through motor fluctuation. Patients have several strategies to try to address this, but this, of course, has to be done in collaboration with their clinicians, because basically what happened with OFF is basically that medication are not working properly, and this is due to the progression of neurodegeneration. So, with time passing, the windows of efficacy of the levodopa tends to become smaller. So, we need to adjust the medication, and we need to try to address the off, adjusting the medication. And in my opinion, it is essential that there is a really close collaboration among clinicians and patients. And, patients need to be aware of what's happening to them in order for them to tell us exactly what's happening. And we have, for example, motor and non-motor symptoms. So, for example, that can be something that needs to be seen, because I've seen, for example, patients with off periods that maybe from a motor point of view, they were doing overall fairly well, I would say, but maybe having a severe anxiety. And that was like a severe non-motor symptoms of their off period. Even if, of course, when we talk at off periods, most of the patient experience the worsening of the motor symptoms. And so the tremor, and the rigidity, the slowness, the stiffness, the freezing of gait. We know that all of these are present in the off periods. But, always keep an eye on no motor symptoms as well. What I would recommend patients is try to always listen to themselves and try to always listen to their body and try to keep a diary of, so in order for them to report to us, because then there are strategies we can help with. But, it's essential. They can tell us exactly what's happening. How is their usually average day?
Yeah, that's very good advice. Thank you. The non-motor symptoms, it would be interesting because, Sylvia, I do believe that it shows itself in different ways. Is it normal when I sometimes find I feel a fog descend on my head? And it's like a little more tired, cloudy, and not focused. My thinking is not focused.
Yeah, definitely. That could be part of it. We know that off periods is somehow the brain says they don't react anymore so well to the levodopa, and there is, they feel that it's missing. Because, having Parkinson is basically driving a car without any petrol. This is what Professor Chowdhury uses to sell patients, So you feel that the petrol is becoming less and less, and you need the next dose.
It's true. I find, I was just yesterday driving to another city for a medical appointment, and I had anxiety. I was scared about driving on the highway, and I felt, I was like thinking through a fog, like one of those lava lamp, we called them, like a lava lamp, those things are floating, and it was very hard to stay focused. I was safe, but I had to take my levodopa, and then I was okay.
Okay. Can I ask you how long was since the last dose you take it?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. It was about 20 minutes. And as I was driving, then I felt okay. It started to lift. The fog lifted. So I guess 20 minutes it took for the medication to kick in.
Okay. Yeah, that's typical. We know that patients with Parkinson can report that some of the causes are off, can also report that sometimes stress can cause them off. So, I mean, we know that, you know, the phenomenology of the off times in Parkinson is quite, again, heterogeneous. So we know that today we have predictable off. And we know that those are relating, for example, to the fact that there is an end of dose. For example, you're wearing off because you need an extra dose. The other predictable ones, for example, are the early morning off. So you come out of a night in which you are not taking the medication, you have not been taking the medication for a few hours, and then you feel off. So these are all the predictable off. But then we also have like what we are called unpredictable offs, you know, the off that can happen anytime during the day. And it does not, maybe there is not maybe any correlation with the treatment though, when you took the last dose of levodopa. And it sounds to me that it was kind of predictable off, but there is also a component probably on unpredictability because you were particularly stressed due to the appointment. So how did your off period change over time? And which are your strategies to try to overcome those?
Well, I think my off periods changed in that I could start to predict when I would get them because I started feeling signs. For example, I felt my right hand get very weak and sometimes spread down my arm, but I didn't get the tremor. My hand was not shaky, but just weak. And my right foot would drag. I would feel it harder to walk. So that was the sign. But how it changed for me was it happened, my medication was wearing off more frequently. Initially, I think I was put on it every 4 hours or 5 hours. I can't remember offhand. But now I must take the levodopa every 3 hours or I start getting the off periods after 3 hours or even before 3 hours, actually.
Okay. And do you feel that scheduling your doses in a shorter window of time, is it helping you? Is this strategy helping you?
Well, what's happened with me, Sylvie, is my neurologist has put me on some other additional medication. Apparently, that helps to boost or extend the effectiveness of the levodopa pill. And it does seem to help. It does. I do notice, though, if I have a lot of stress, my off period does kick in.
You basically described most of the strategies that we are currently using for the treatment and addressing off periods in Parkinson. So as you said, we usually start adjusting the doses. So we either increase if there is any need of increase the single dose or usually more often, you know, like prescribing those that are much more closer in time, like as your neurology did, and then adding the other medication. So actually, one of these are the strategies that we use for treat and address the off period. And then, of course, I mean, there are other few other strategies that we can use that would be, for example, using a control release formulation. So we have a formulation of levodopa that can work slightly longer compared to the immediate release. Usually the immediate release can last up to 3 hours. Well, it depends on patients, while the prolonged release can last up to 6 hours, but that's why we usually use them at nighttime. And then we have, for example, the on-demand treatment that can be used as well.
I actually have been prescribed levodopa control release. I take one at night and it helps because of my leg cramps up sometimes, my feet get tight, I guess dystonia. But to prevent it, the continuous controlled release levodopa at night helps.
Yeah, you also then tried all of these. I mean, these are all the strategies. And then, of course, I mean, whenever the disease is a bit difficult to treat with oral treatment, and I already mentioned the on-demand treatment, but, you know, in the most advanced stage of disease, we can also have what we call advanced treatments. That means like treatment in which there is a continuous stimulation, dopaminergic stimulation. You probably might have heard of the advanced treatment as well, which are the continuous intrajejunal infusion of levodopa carbidopa, the continuous subcutaneous apomorphine infusion, and of course the surgical approach, which is DBS. But this, of course, is more in the advanced. But as you can see, we have several strategies to address the off periods, which are at the end are part of the motor fluctuations that we know can happen with the long-term use of PD medication, specifically levodopa.
Yeah, I'm sad that the levodopa is not as effective as when I was diagnosed, but sometimes the side effect of taking too much levodopa, it would the term be, Sylvia, is it bradykinesia, where you're making odd movements? That happens when I take too much levodopa.
Yeah, that's dyskinesia. That means that you are, let's say, too on. So again, it's something that can happen. That's true. And we know that it's not related to the treatment per se. We know that it's more related to neurodegeneration because as you said at the beginning of the recording, as you said, we don't have disease-modifying treatment, so we can't stop the progression. And, you know, what we see with years and the progression of the you know, with years into the disease, we can see, you know, all these fluctuations, we call them, which can be either the off, the wearing off, or the dyskinesia, the periods in which you move too much. And again, here I would like to stress how it's important that as patients, you report all of these to us, because all of them can be addressed. Because despite we don't have disease-modifying treatment, we have good treatment that we can help you with in addressing all of these and giving you good quality of life. And it's important that every one of you, does this specifically and, you know, really precisely, because Parkinson's treatment is a personalized, is a highly personalized, it has to be tailored on patients. And knowing the fluctuation, knowing which is the type of fluctuation, if it involves either motor or no motor symptoms, for us it's essential to try to, you know, to try to help you and prescribe you the correct medication.
Yes, and I like what you said very much, Sylvia, about us tracking the symptoms, keeping a diary. That's very helpful. There's an app I found, the free app that I found helpful for myself. And I can film myself recording because sometimes my hand's too shaky to write. So with this app, I can record myself, film myself, or write. And it helps me track the small details and the time, and it's very useful for the doctor.
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, there are now several ways to monitor this. So, you know, the most important, of course, collecting a history from a patient and, you know, having an open conversation together. And then there are, like, for example, validated scales or validated diary. There are like instruments that we can give patients, like the on and off diary, also called the Hauser diary, which just sometimes a simple piece of paper. But I mean, it's true, there have been like lots of app and, you know, technologies helping us to monitor patients as well. Now, even, you know, they are not, for example, for research purpose, we can monitor patients remotely. So we are definitely in those times that, you know, technology is helping us definitely to monitor patients with Parkinson, which is of great help. So I believe in the future, you know, might be helpful in future. However, this has also always have to be matched with clinical information. So the importance of, you know, the conversation among clinicians and patients, that's really essential. And we never have to forget about that.
Definitely. I completely agree with you. And Sylvia, might I add, when I went to the World Parkinson's Congress in Barcelona, Spain, I saw a lot of hope. I saw so many posters and people sharing what's on the horizon to help manage these symptoms and help prevent them. And even better, find a cure for Parkinson's. That would be beautiful.
You are listening to the Parkinson's Life podcast with Sylvia and Barbara, funded by BL. Be sure to subscribe on your podcast platform to hear more from the series.
Sylvia, I wondered if you can address some suggestions on how people with Parkinson's can handle off periods when they happen rather than preempting.
Yeah. So off periods can be of two types, the predictable and the unpredictable. So again, patients need to be aware and listen to themselves to try to understand the off periods are coming. And, you know, to try to keep the diary and to try to keep, you know, like a record of their average day. Because we know that there are predictable off periods, which are the early morning of, the end of those, the nocturnal akinesia. So when someone struggles like during nighttime because of the low dopaminergic intake. So this definitely, it's an important strategy. It's the beginning of the strategy. So trying to recognize them, and, you know, recognize also which are the most bothersome symptoms during those, you know, and try to listen to your body and feel which they are. Either is more no motor, is more anxiety, is more pain, is more brain fog, is more tremor, is more freezing of gait. In order to address them, there is the collaboration among clinicians and patients. And without going to the treatment that, you know, can bypass the gastrointestinal system, and so the inhaler or the subcutaneous formulations, there is also, for example, having always with you an extra dose of levodopa, for example, that you can take, you know, when you need it. This, for example, is something that we do. Of course, this shouldn't be too many because, you know, we are talking about when they become more than 3-5 days, that means that probably the overall treatment needs to be reviewed. So it's just not a matter of addressing that single off or that single time. We are talking probably at that point that it all needs to be reviewed, the treatment, and maybe, you know, starting considering that, you know, if there is also dyskinesia and a bad control of the movements, and we are talking also, we should start in probably putting the picture what we call advanced treatment. So the one I mentioned before, the intrajejunal infusion of levodopa, the subcutaneous apomorph infusion, the DBS, so which is the deep brain stimulation. You know, all of these eventually might have to be introduced into talk. But again, this is a process that requires a lot of time, lots of talking among clinicians and, you know, patients, lots of collaboration, and then again, a personalized treatment, because we don't know exactly what, you know, how patients will progress. Every single patient has a different trajectory of progression. And so it has to be done in a stepwise manner, in with time. But, you know, these could be all strategies that can be used. So the on-demand treatment, the additional levodopa with you, adjusting the long-term treatment.
I try some other things too, but I don't have at this stage evidence to prove it works. I'm just saying I'm finding a few additional things help me. When I start having the off periods and I don't take an additional levodopa, or I don't take it too early because it might be too soon to my next dose, I raise my eyebrows a little bit. I raise my mouth just a hint, and I sit up tall. And I sometimes push myself, move myself faster, walk about a little faster. And sometimes that kicks my brain into, gets me out of the fog. But I cannot swear that this will help everybody. It helps me sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, this could be personal way of somehow boosting your dopamine or adjusting your reflexes. Because, you know, we know that with Parkinson, not having dopamine, you lose a bit the automatism of the movements. So, you know, when we walk, we don't have to think about, you know, of our arms wink. But then patients with Parkinson lose that. So, you know, it's like, you know, doing some brain training and remind your brain what it has to do. And, you know, the brain is an amazing organ, it's quite plastic, and, you know, like all this training eventually will enter in your brain and will help you to improve your motor symptoms.
I find also having music at the back of my head, a fast-paced tune, sometimes helps.
Well, I mean, this is another important thing. I mean, it basically is kind of, you know, changing your internal rhythm, which is maybe a bit fault compared to how it used to be, with something outside. And it's important. I mean, as an example, usually it happens when patients are off. It can happen sometimes when on, but definitely it's much more off in the off period that happened. But you might have seen, for example, or you might have or you might have experienced what we call freezing of gait. So freezing of gait is, you know, when your feet stuck on the floor and you can't really walk. Most of the time it happens in off time. But sometimes patients, I think, you know, usually thinks to amazing way to overcome it. And it's because, you know, they have to tell their brain, you know, I need to do these steps and I need to think on how to do these steps. And, you know, patients can find amazing solution for that, like laser. There are patients that, for example, point their laser and the laser has to be, you know, overcome. And so now I need to move my foot above this, like this laser. Or, for example, you can find, you know, help in just drawing lines on the floor. And you have to tell your brain, okay, these are the lines I need to pass and in order for me to walk properly. Or rhythmical cues, as it says, you have a cues and you have a rhythmical, and you feel like this metronome, and then it's just telling you, okay, this is the speed I have to do. And, you know, these are all strategies that have been proved. I mean, so I'm not surprised that music's helping you, because are all the cues that we use to overcome some of these symptoms.
Actually, when you talk about cues to help you override some of the symptoms, it reminds me of a colleague of mine, Rob Merkman. Rob is a mime artist in Vermont, United States, with Parkinson's disease since 2014. And he teaches people how to use mime to help override some of these symptoms. And he told me one of his participants who had freezing of gait a lot of times in public doorways would use a mime door. So it was an invisible door. And that would help that man get out of the frozen gait. That's what he always would train himself to do, something like that. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there are several strategies, and you know, everyone has their strategy in you know, overcoming these symptoms that are most related with the off periods. Barbara, when do you experience off period? Is there any member of your family helping you? And if so, which are the advice that usually gives you?
I'm very fortunate with my husband for over 35 years, who's my care partner, my best friend. And before I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, he didn't understand why I was exhibiting some of these symptoms, like slowing down, forgetfulness. But then he understood now it's the disease. And he's incredibly patient. His patience with me really helps lower my stress. And then that helps to reduce some of the symptoms when I'm in an off period. So sharing patience, offering to help, maybe carry stuff for me. Multitasking is another problem when I have too many things to do. So my husband, as a care partner, helps to take some of the load off of me, and that helps me tremendously.
Yeah, definitely. Also helping you from the psychological point of view. And you mentioned something that's really important, the multitasking. Of course, when, you know, it's a bit hard to do multitasking when you have Parkinson's disease, and especially if you're off. So, I mean, you know, it's what you have said, it's really nice, because, you know, it's really important to have people around that, of course, can understand what's it's all about. So, you know, I'm really glad that you have found also your strategies with your husband, and that's exactly what, you know, what can actually help you and, you know, other patients. Barbara, how do the off periods impact your hobbies, or, you know, how can you overcome them during your hobbies when you're doing your activities? You are so active and such an artist. So if you don't mind to share with us.
Well, initially, I used to paint with acrylics and make hyper realistic paintings of architectural buildings. And with Parkinson's, it made it difficult for me to hold my arm up and to with the tremors on my hand. And with off periods, that also kicked in. It made it hard to paint. So I switched my medium, and I'm playing around still with acrylic paint, very loose, more abstract. And in addition, I play with my food, and I'm making food art. So I use like delicatessen meat, like salami for the face. And then I put peppercorns for eyes. And it's funny. I make fun of politicians. And it's very therapeutic as well. So that's one of my hobbies. And the other hobby is, well, I used to be a professional mime artist. And so when I create characters or illusions with mime, my body, it really helps me override some of the lack of energy the off period gives me, or some of the cramps I get when my meds wear off. Visualizing an imaginary puppet string holding me up at the back of my head. Those are some ways I use my hobbies to help me manage when I'm off.
Okay, wow. Like lots of really great strategies. And I mean, again, I'm really lucky, you know, to do research with patients with Parkinson's because I'm really amazed by, you know, the activities and the level of creativity that you all have. And what you're doing, I've seen similar things, you know, sometimes with other patients, maybe different form of arts. I mean, in my opinion, that's, you know, the greatest attitude to have. You know, there are patients maybe doing more music and playing and all of these. I mean, or trying to overcome their difficulties, you know, and, you know, still continue with their hobbies and their passions, but in a different way, despite the symptoms, because we know that sometimes symptoms can be quite bothersome. And
yeah, I sometimes fake it. So I think that I'm okay and just move everything a little bit faster. And that seems to help me a bit. But to be honest with you, the best thing is a good nap. And that I feel okay. And snacks. I do also find, Sylvia, occasionally if I have like crackers or some dried fruit, not protein, I again feel better. I have more energy after.
That's great. Just flag up for patients in general, just, you know, for everybody to remind, as a reminder, always please tell us if you think that, you know, you're doing a bit too much of these. If, for example, you think you're eating too much, or for example, you are sleeping too much during the day. Just, you know, sometimes could be also side effect of the medication, specifically the dopamine agonist. So again, part of the communication between clinician and patients, I recommend that this should be another aspect. So if you think that sometimes you sleep too much during the day, or you are eating too much, or you're spending too much money, sometimes it can be a sign of side effect of medication. So please tell us this as well. So thank you for giving me this hint. That is not something that is related to you personally, but it's something that might be helpful for patients to know. Barbara, how easy do you feel speaking about off periods? I mean, do you feel comfortable to share this with patients, with people around you? Or it's something that you prefer to avoid to explain people?
It's changed since I've been diagnosed. Initially, Sylvia, I didn't want to talk to anybody. I didn't want anyone to know I had Parkinson's disease, let alone off periods. But once I accepted the diagnosis and then started to experience the fluctuations with the off periods, I started to talk more openly about it. So that way people would be more patient with me. In fact, I even now I got to the point where I say it to strangers at, for example, after buying my groceries and I'm on my own and I'm slow in putting all my food in my bags to take them away. I turn to the people and I say, I have Parkinson's disease. Please be patient with me or help me pack my food. And people seem to be mostly okay and helpful or more patient.
Wow, that's great. And I'm glad that, you know, other people can understand you. And I mean, it sometimes is also because maybe people around us does not really know what it's about, because unless you are an healthcare worker and you work with patients with Parkinson's, you are a doctor, you are a nurse, or, you know, you have like family member or friends that with Parkinson's is, you know, maybe the other people don't know what's about. And maybe there is a classical picture, for example, of someone shaking and tremor, but, you know, it's so much more. And it's good, you know, to increase the awareness.
Yes, I think we need to educate others and also remove the stigma. Like you were saying, the image comes to mind is of a person shaking. And usually of an older male patient shaking, not a younger person. And there are many young people with Parkinson's. They don't have in the mind's eye many women, but more and more women are being diagnosed with Parkinson's. So to remove the stigma, educate others. And for me, it's also important to get their support and to help my PD sisters and brothers. Thank you. I'm so honored, really, Sylvia, for being able to have this talk with you. You've informed me and educated me So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Barbara, so much. It has been a really pleasure. You actually educated me and informed me. I really appreciate that and I really thank you.
Parkinson's Life magazine is produced by Speak Media on behalf of Parkinson's Europe, the leading voice for Parkinson's in Europe. For the latest research and information on Parkinson's, visit www.parkinsonseurope.org. This episode was funded by pharmaceutical company Bial. The content of this episode was up to date and accurate at the time of recording in October 2023. The episode represents the individual views and experiences of the podcast attendees. Thanks for listening to the Parkinson's Life podcast. If you like what you've heard, please rate and review. It helps make sure others can find us. If you'd like to share your story with Parkinson's Life magazine, get in touch through Facebook, Twitter, or by emailing editor@parkinsonslife.eu. Keep a lookout for our next episode, and until then, take care.